or remain seated?
Keep it down.
Stay down. Keep it down. The gospel for this evening is Matthew 15, beginning at the 21st verse. And Jesus went away from there and withdrew to the district of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a Canaanite woman from that region came out and was crying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely oppressed by a demon." But he did not answer her a word. And his disciples came and begged him, saying, "Send her away, for she's crying out after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me." And he answered, "It is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." She said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered her, "O woman, great is your faith. Be it done for you as you desire." And her daughter was healed instantly. The word of the Lord.
Grace and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and from the Holy Spirit who dwells richly in our hearts. Amen. Today's gospel story is that beautiful story about the Canaanite woman and her encounter with Jesus. On the surface, we admire her for her persistence, and yet it is not her persistence that pays off, but rather God's mercy directed toward her. Of course, when I think about persistence, I'm reminded of how someone defined it. Persistence, they said, is like wrestling a gorilla. You don't give up when you get tired, you give up when the gorilla gets tired. Mercy, on the other hand, can be defined this way. Mercy is the compassionate treatment of those in distress, especially when it is within one's power to punish or harm them. The word mercy derives from the medieval Latin merced or merces, which means price paid. It has the connotation of forgiveness, benevolence, and kindness. Jesus, on occasion, enters into the Gentile territory. And our text today begins by stating that Jesus withdrew to the district of Tyre and Sidon, which is better known as Syrophoenicia. We go all the way back to the Old Testament, Deuteronomy chapter 20, verse 17, when the Israelites were coming into the promised land. Finally, we actually hear some kind of harsh words from God. "You shall devote them to complete destruction, the Hittites and the Amorites, the Canaanites and the Perizzites, the Hivites and the Jebusites, as the Lord your God commanded." So again, when the Israelites came into that promised land, they were not only to drive out all the inhabitants of that land, but to destroy them so that their vile, evil influences would not influence the people of Israel and turn them away from God. We know how well that went, right? And while they were successful in destroying some of those enemies of God, others were not completely wiped out. And our encounter today with this Canaanite woman is an encounter with a descendant of Israel's ancient enemy. And yet there's some irony here, because the one who should have been destroyed, this woman, this descendant of these Canaanites, is the one who recognizes the messianic nature of Jesus much more readily than do the leaders, the Jewish leaders, whom Jesus, of course, berates for their blindness earlier in Matthew 15, 14, when he said this, "Let them alone. They are blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both will fall into the ditch." Well, that's where the whole concept of mercy comes in. The one who has the power to destroy also has the power to forgive and to restore. That's the beauty of God's benevolent mercy. Every one of us is a sinner. We all have fallen short of God's glory. We all deserve punishment and death. And yet God sent his only begotten Son, Jesus, to die in our place, to take the punishment of our sin upon himself, so that we might receive God's merciful gift of forgiveness and be given that promise of new life through his resurrection, which is that everlasting victory he won for us over sin, death, and the devil. Well, praise be to God for that wonderful, precious gift of mercy. Well, the seat of mercy is God himself, and as we were told in many places, but one of the places that puts it really in a beautiful way, and it was kind of the prayer for today too, I patterned it after that, is Psalm 145:8, which says, "The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love." What a tremendously beautiful gift of God that is. But when the Canaanite woman approaches Jesus and begs for mercy out of pure desperation for her situation, her daughter, who's oppressed by a demon, how does Jesus respond? Well, he gives her the silent treatment. He doesn't utter a word. That is so uncharacteristic of Jesus. I mean, even his disciples at this point are dumbstruck. They've never encountered Jesus denying anyone who was pleading for help. Oh yeah, a couple of occasions Jesus delayed, but even in those cases, there was some form of response. We find them here begging Jesus to at least respond, if for no other reason than to help this woman out, to send her on her way so she stops pestering them. And when Jesus does respond, it's almost as if he is talking past her and not directly to her. In a very clear, concise way, Jesus states why he came. He says, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." We have to unpack that a little bit, I think, because God's divine plan was to work out redemption in the Jewish nation first and not elsewhere. First, not only, okay? And there's a difference there. And as soon as it was worked out there among the Jewish nation, then it would be carried to all the world. Of course, we know Jesus is charged to the church in Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20, where he says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you." And then later in Acts chapter 1, before Jesus ascends back into heaven, he declares to the disciples who are gathered there, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you will be witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." That Acts passage clarifies Jesus' work. It started with a small group of people that Jesus poured his heart and his soul into, those disciples, those first apostles. And Jesus would send them out to Judea and then Samaria and then to the ends of the earth. That's the nature of discipleship. We are to both be disciples and make disciples. Jesus didn't come to disciple every one of us himself. He equips us so that we can equip others. Going back to this woman, you have to admire this Canaanite woman for her confidence and for her tenacity. The passage tells us that even though Jesus responded with a very strong message about his divine purpose and charge, she would not be turned away. Reminded of a story of an American missionary couple and their family who was home on furlough from their missionary work for a time, spending some vacation days at a cabin near a lake. They had three children, ages 12, 7, and 4, and one day, the four-year-old slipped away from his brother and sister, went out on the dock to play, and fell into the lake. He didn't know how to swim, and he wasn't wearing a life jacket. So the screams of the two older children alerted the father to the danger. He ran to the dock, and the kids pointed to where their brother had fallen in. The father dove down into the lake. He went all the way to the bottom, felt around frantically for the little boy. Finally, running out of air, he came back up to the top, caught another huge gulp of air, and went back down again, searching for his son. On his way down the third time, he felt the little boy's leg. He turned and found his four-year-old son with his arms and legs wrapped tightly around one of the pilings on the dock, about 3 feet below the water. Well, the father pried him loose, carried him to the lawn. They both caught their breath, thank goodness. And after about 30 minutes, when they kind of had calmed down, the father asked, "Son, what were you doing down there holding on to that piling?" The little boy answered, "I was confident that my daddy would rescue me." Wow. The Bible tells us that this woman came and knelt before Jesus. That's an act of worship. She prostrated herself before Jesus' feet. And in that moment of worship, she prayed the only prayer that any of us could pray at our time of need. "Lord, help me." That's it. "Lord, help me." In that prayer, she laid all of her needs before Jesus. She left herself open to however he chose to respond. You know, someone once said about confidence, that confidence never comes from having all the answers. It comes from being open to all the questions. Well, Jesus continues down that same track as before. He said, it's not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. Of course, that bread was the ministry of Jesus. He came to minister to Israel and to give them the chance to hear the good news, to know that he was God's promised Messiah, and to open it up for God's own people to receive him first before the good news, as I said earlier, was sent to the rest of the world. When you hear that language, Jesus is not calling her a dog here, not in the diminutive sense. It's not a put-down. I mean, picture this. It's not some mangy mongrel street dog, okay? The Greek word here means little puppy, right? Yep, there you go. This is the dog that's part of your family, okay? I mean, you don't put him in the chair next to you, but he's right there under your feet, waiting for the crumbs that fall off of the table, licking them right off the floor. The Jews, however, would have seen any Gentile, especially a Canaanite woman, they would have seen her as one of those mangy dogs, right? Those mongrel dogs that didn't deserve even a scrap. But Jesus sees her, and he sees us in a very different way. And I absolutely love this woman's response. She says, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." You know Jesus is smiling at that comment, at least inside, right? Because a woman gets it. I mean, she knows who he is. She knows what he has come to offer. She's not asking to sit at the table. She's not asking for the prime rib or the filet mignon. All she's asking for is the crumbs, the scraps that fall on the floor. All she wants is a small piece of Jesus. That's enough for her. Some of you may have heard this story before somewhere. But the story told back in 1935 one night when Fiorello H. LaGuardia was mayor of New York. Yeah, look at pictures. This guy was larger than life. He showed up one night at a night court in the poorest ward of the city. He dismissed the judge for the evening, told him to go home and take a rest. And so he took over the bench. One case involved an elderly woman who was caught stealing bread to feed her grandchildren. LaGuardia said, "I've got to punish you. $10 or 10 days in jail." As he spoke, he threw $10 into his hat. And then he fined everyone in the courtroom 50 cents for living in a city where a person has to steal bread so that her grandchildren can eat. The hat was passed around. The woman left the courtroom with her fine paid, an additional $47.50. That doesn't sound like a lot of money today, but back in 1935, that was a lot of money. All right? Now, I don't know if that's a true story or not, but praise the Lord for that mayor who had the good-hearted sense to demonstrate mercy on this poor lady. And yet he demonstrated even more than mercy. It was Martin Luther who said that everyone is a beggar. And once we find the bread, we tell everybody else where it's at. So Jesus' words in this text, again, they're not as harsh as we make them out to be. You see, God did not altogether exclude the Gentiles from the ministry of Jesus. But there was a proper time and a proper place and a proper reason to reveal Jesus to the world at just the right time. First, again, to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and then to the Gentiles. Of course, we know in the book of Acts that Jesus gave Peter this great vision as he was sent to Cornelius and was basically told that nothing that God has made is bad, that all are worth redeeming. And then, of course, Jesus changed Saul's life as he came to him on the road and changed his name to Paul, commissioned him to take the good news to the Gentiles on the road. And again, that name change to Paul signified a whole new outlook on his life and one of the greatest evangelists that the church has ever known in its history. Well, at the end of the story, Jesus gave this woman more than the crumbs that she asked for. He commended her for her faith, and he healed her daughter. What a marvelous witness this woman is, because she knew that Jesus is the bread of life. Whoever comes to him shall not hunger, and whoever believes in him shall never thirst. Let us pray.